The first speaker will be Sylvia Evans, and Sylvia is probably well known to many of you in the San Diego area. She's a professor of pharmacology and medicine at UCSD. She's been a leading scientist for many years, and she's going to talk about epicardial progenitors and their potential for cardiac repair and regeneration, specifically looking at how do we develop a vasculature that would support myocardial stem cell transplantation. Sylvia?
Well, thank you, Tony, and thank you for the invitation to tell you a little bit about some work we've done on a different kind of progenitor population in the heart. These are epicardial progenitors that we hope may have some utility and potential for cardiac therapy. So as we've heard, heart disease is a major problem in the U.S. and in the developed world. It's very costly, and of course, it's no fun for the patient either. The inability to restore cardiac function to damaged heart results from an inadequate regenerative capacity. Cell-based therapies have shown some promise, but they have not yet proven effective for disease therapy. So we need to do a little more work to understand how we can improve the approaches that we've already tried. This is just a schematic to show the idea of trying to improve the heart, the ischemic and infarcted area, by injection of an exogenous source of cells in this case, and the cell source, there have been many different cell sources tried, and Ken talked a little bit about this idea also. The cells for cardiac repair can be added exogenously, as diagrammatically shown here, or activated endogenously. So our question, how to generate cardiac tissue that we can use for repair. So as Ken said, building functional cardiac tissue requires integration of multiple cell types, which includes the cardiomyocyte, fibroblasts, and coronary vascular cells. And the coronary vascular cells are made up of both endothelial cells and vascular support cells. So in my lab, we've been trying to come at this from the viewpoint of what is the source of these distinct cell types in development? Where do these cells come from when the heart is originally built? And can we find similar kinds of cells, facsimile sources, for cardiac repair in the setting of heart disease? So a key to myocyte survival, as Tony alluded to and Ken talked about, is the coronary vasculature. Replacement myocytes, any kind of replacement myocyte, is going to require perfusion in order to survive. So, and what we've begun to find out in the world of developmental biology is that formation of the vasculature is actually quite organ-specific. So the blood vessels that form in the liver might be quite distinct from those that form in the heart. And in particular, the cells comprising the coronary vasculature have distinct embryonic origins and utilize distinct pathways to form functional coronary vessels. And so this highlights the idea that if we want to create some kind of cardiac repair, we really should understand exactly what kind of cells we want to bring to bear to form a vasculature that can perfuse the added cells. So this is just a schematic diagram taken from the heart development textbook, a chapter written by Takashi Makawa, just kind of outlining how many different kinds of cells there are that make up the heart and the diverse origin they have embryonically. We have two categories, intrinsic and extrinsic progenitors, broadly defined. The intrinsic are the ones that Ken focused a lot on today, the cardiogenic mesoderm, that can give rise to different myocytes and also the endocardium lining the heart, the conduction system cells of the heart. And then there are two major extrinsic populations that we think about. One is the cardiac neural crest, which gives rise to aortic smooth muscle and also the ganglia that innervate the heart. And today I'm going to focus attention on the proepicardium. This is a transient embryonic structure at the base of the heart, which is going to give rise to a number of different cell types, and in particular, cells which are involved in the formation of the vasculature, including the coronary smooth muscle, endothelial cells perhaps, and cardiac fibroblasts. So here's a scanning electron micrograph colored of the proepicardium. This is an early looped heart in a mouse embryo, And just at the base of the heart, you can see these cluster of colored purple cells here, which is the proepicardium, shown in higher magnification here. As I said, this is a transient embryonic structure. In mouse, it's present from E9.5 to about, about E9.25 to 10. These cells will begin to bud off and land on the heart, spread out, and form a thin single cell layer called the epicardium. In a number of lineage studies and chimeric studies performed in chick and quail embryos, it was shown that the epicardium contributes to multiple cell types inside the heart, cardiac fibroblasts, coronary vascular support cells, and coronary endothelial cells. And I have a question here because there has been some controversy about that, with some groups reporting that endothelial cells did arise from the proepicardium and other groups not able to reproduce that finding. So that has been a bit of a controversy in the field. So the questions that we wanted to ask about the proepicardium and epicardial lineages is, which cardiac lineages derive from the proepicardium in mammals? Do endothelial lineages derive from the proepicardium? And what is the extent of the proepicardial contribution to each of these lineages? The way that the experiments had been done in the chick and quail species was by retroviral lineage study or by swap experiments, where only a few of the potential cells were labeled. So the extent of contribution could not be assessed. So other groups had published that the transcription factor TBOX18 marks proepicardium and epicardium in the early mouse embryo. And here's the picture of TBOX18 RNA expression. You'll recognize, I hope, the proepicardium here at this early stage embryo. And you can see that TBOX18 expression clearly marks the proepicardium. And then we can also begin to see the TBOX18 positive cells landing on the surface of the heart, beginning to spread out, and eventually forming this single cell layer, the epicardium. And TBOX18 is expressed both in the proepicardium and in the epicardium. So we decided that we would utilize TBOX18 mouse models to follow the fate of proepicardial and epicardial lineages in this mammalian model. And this is one of the reporters that we made. This was a mouse that was made by Yan-Fu Sun in the lab. And it was a knock-in into the endogenous TBOX18 locus of a nuclear-localized LAC-Z. This is X-gal staining for the LAC-Z, and you see that it looks very much like what I showed you for the RNA expression of TBOX18. And this is a section taken through that embryo at that level, and you can see here that it's just showing the proepicardial cells here, immunostained for beta-galactosidase expression. So this is a reporter for the active expression of TBOX18. We also made a reporter for fate mapping the TBOX18 cells. And in this way, we can follow cells that once expressed TBOX18 forever. Once they've been labeled, they'll stay labeled even when TBOX18 gets turned off. And this is using the Cree lineage system that Ken also referred to. Many of you are probably familiar with it. But here we knock in this Cree recombinase into the endogenous TBOX18 locus, and we cross this mouse with an indicator mouse, which has a transgene driven by an ubiquitous reporter. This ROSA locus is expressed in every cell type. The reporter genes, either LAC-Z or YFP, will not be expressed until you take out this stop sequence. And the way you take out the stop sequence is with this Cre recombinase. And so once you activate TBOX18 expression, you take out the stop sequence, and now your cell is permanently labeled with either LAC-Z or YFP. So we've used this reporter extensively in the studies I'm going to talk about. So this is now showing you the active expression of TBOX18 driving LAC-Z expression. And in this figure, you can see that this is the TBOX18 RNA, and we're comparing it to the expression of the LAC-Z reporter. And basically, this LAC-Z expression completely recapitulates that we saw for the endogenous TBOX18 gene, which is what we were hoping for. And if you look at different stages of development, 9.5, 10.5, 11.5, and higher magnification in these panels, you can see that the cells expressing TBOX18 are all around the epicardium, but there are no cells within the heart at these stages. In contrast, when we look at the Cre fate mapping data from similar stages, and this is the TBOX18 Cre with the ROSA reporter now, LAC-Z, at 10.5 and 11.5, we already can see blue cells inside the heart, suggesting that these are cells which express TBOX18 and migrated into the heart but turned off expression of TBOX18, because when we looked at the TBOX18 active expression, we could not see it inside the heart. So then we ask the question, what are these cells? What is the identity of these cells? And quite to our surprise, what we found was that these cells are actually becoming cardiomyocytes. And we found this out by doing co-immunolabeling with a marker for cardiomyocytes, which is troponin T. So here you see the immunostaining for the beta-galactosidase gene, and then staining for the troponin T, and then the merging of the two, and there was a co-localization suggesting that these cells had become myocytes. We also used a number of different markers for myocytes, and we got the same result. So this was quite surprising, because in the avian experiments that I referred to earlier, no one had reported seeing cardiomyocytes. So this was surprising and also exciting, because it suggested that these cells, these epicardial cells, might be giving rise to a number of cardiac lineages that we hadn't expected. So we also, because that data had been done with this genetic lineage tracing, there is always the concern when you're using Cre recombinase as a lineage tracer that you may have activated expression of the gene even for a transient time. So rather than really being a true lineage tracing, it's just showing you where the gene is active. So in that, so we decided we better do an alternative to the genetic lineage tracing, and we did this dye labeling, this CSFE fluorescent dye, where it was injected in the, into the pericardial cavity of the mouse embryo at the time when the proepicardium had gone over the heart at about E12.513. And the idea with this dye is that it labels only the externalmost layer of cells, so we could selectively mark the epicardium with this dye. And these experiments were done by Jody Martin in the lab as part of his PhD thesis. He developed this technique. And so the heart was labeled, and then the heart was explanted and put into culture and allowed to develop. And the hope was that the epicardial cells then would migrate in, and we could then look at them and see what they had become. And so this is the result of that experiment. This is just a comparison with the genetic fate mapping study. And here we're looking at E13.5 hearts. At time zero, the dye indeed had just labeled the outer layer of the epicardium. And after 24 hours in culture, we could see that some cells had migrated in. And indeed, when we stained these cells, immunostaining for troponin T and co-localization with the fluorescent dye, the orange color here, indicating that these cells indeed had migrated in and had become myocytes. So this was consistent with our genetic labeling studies and confirmed indeed that these epicardial cells were becoming myocytes. At a little later stages of development, we began to see active TBOX18 expression within the heart at about E13.5. So here is the, again, immunostaining for beta-gal from the TBOX18 active reporter NLAC-Z expression. At 12.5, you can begin to see a few cells actively expressing TBOX18 moving into the heart, and then at a later stage, a few more of these cells. When we looked to see whether these cells were myocytes using a transcription factor NKX2.5 that Ken mentioned, we found that these cells, in fact, did not co-express NKX2.5 and therefore were not cardiac myocytes. So what were these cells actively expressing TBOX18? Well, when we did immunostaining for a marker of vascular support cells, PDGF receptor beta, this marks both parasites and vascular smooth muscle cells, we found that these cells which were actively expressing TBOX18 at these stages in fact did co-localize to some extent with PDGF receptor beta cells. And here it shows the high magnification of the co-localization. So TBOX18, in addition to giving rise to myocytes at the first wave of cells into the heart, was at later stages giving rise to cells that appeared to be vascular support cells. And then looking at later stages of development in the neonatal and the adult heart, we found that TBOX18-derived cells, in fact, comprise the majority of vascular support cells in the heart. This is a TBOX18 Cre lineage study now, and here we're staining for XGAL, and you can see that most of the vessels are being marked by these TBOX18 cells. And when we do sections and we do the immunostaining analysis, we find out that the cell type that is blue in these pictures is smooth muscle cells. It stains with smooth muscle myosin heavy chain, and also with neuropilin 1, which is a marker for arterial smooth muscle. And that's co-localized with the lineage tracer YFP in this case. You get an overlap of those cell types. So almost all the vascular support cells in the heart, we believe, come from TBOX18 lineages. However, we found that TBOX18 cells do not contribute to coronary endothelium. And here you have, again, a lineage-traced heart, stained vessel staining with the lineage tracer for TPOXX 18 derived lineages, then also co-immunostained for PCAM, which is a marker for endothelial cells. And when you co-localize those, you find out that the endothelial cells are distinct from the TPOXX 18 cells, which are marking the support cells. And we wanted to confirm this by another method, so we did affinity column purification of endothelial cells from adult TPOXX 18 lineage-traced hearts. This is the PCAM negative fraction, the PCAM positive fraction, which is the endothelial fraction. And if you look here at the PCAM positive fraction, you can see there are no lineage trace cells in this fraction, whereas we do see the lineage trace cells in the PCAM negative fraction. So we were pretty sure that TPOXX 18 cells, in fact, are not giving rise to endothelial cells. They are, however, giving rise to a substantial proportion of cardiac fibroblasts, and this is a fibroblast preparation from lineage trace TPOXX 18 hearts, where we counted about 30% of cardiac fibroblasts are arising from the TPOXX 18 lineage. So this just summarizes the findings that I've told you. We find that TPOXX 18 epicardial cells contribute to cardiac myocytes, vascular support cells, and fibroblasts in the heart, and that it seems that these discrete epicardial cell populations may arise in a temporally distinct manner, with cardiomyocytes being the first cells to enter the heart, and then later stages seeing vascular support cells and fibroblasts coming in. So this then raised the question, are these proepicardial cells multipotent? Within the proepicardium, are there cells which have already decided to become myocytes or vascular support cells or fibroblasts? Or is the proepicardial cell a multipotent cell which can give rise to any of those three lineages? And so in order to address that question, we did single-cell clonal analysis for the study of self-renewal and lineage commitment. We took lineage-traced proepicardial cells. We plated them at single-cell density on these OP9 feeder layers in these multi-well plates. The colonies would come up, and then each colony, which was derived from a single cell, was then plated under conditions which would support either cardiomyocyte development or smooth muscle cell development. And the results of this study demonstrated that colonies derived from a single proepicardial cell were multipotent. In fact, they could give rise either to cardiomyocytes or to smooth muscle cells. This is the lineage tracer, the YFP, that shows that it's a TPOXX 18 lineage-derived cell, and that some of them became myocytes, and that they did indeed co-localize, showing they were derived from TPOXX 18 cells. And similarly with the smooth muscle, we saw that these cells could also become smooth muscle. And this could happen about the myocytes and the smooth muscle cells were derived in about 30% of the proepicardial cells. This is just some assays we did to assay the function of these proepicardial-derived cardiomyocytes. This is actually a video that I don't have sort of operational right now, but this would show you beating myocytes and calcium transients performed in those myocytes, showing that they differentiated to a high degree. So TPOXX 18 proepicardial cells contribute, in fact, to all cardiac lineages except endothelial cells, and they are multipotent progenitors. And we think that these findings suggest that TPOXX 18 progenitors from embryonic or adult tissues may be an effective donor source for cell-based therapies because they would be able to contribute many of the essential cell types that we need to rebuild cardiac tissue. So in my lab right now, we're starting to work with human embryonic stem cells and trying to differentiate them down into the TPOXX 18 pathway. Another interesting question, is there a potential role for endogenous epicardial cells in heart regeneration? And this is kind of some intriguing observations recently from work in Ken Posse's lab in zebrafish. Interestingly, cardiac regeneration actually can occur in lower vertebrates, so we've somehow lost that ability. And this is just to illustrate that the mammalian heart, you just get a large scar and no healing. However, remarkably, in the zebrafish heart, you can chop off part of the ventricle, and it will absolutely perfectly regenerate. And so what is the secret to its success? And some studies, beautiful studies done by Ken Posse, he's shown that in an uninjured ventricle, TPOXX 18 cells are present, the lineage cells are present, presumably on the epicardial surface, but only when you injure the heart do you see that upregulation of TPOXX 18 expression in the epicardium. And intriguingly, in the wound area, you see a lot of TPOXX 18 expression in the same area. And this is correlated with an observation of neoangiogenesis in the wound area. Additionally, blocking FGF signaling prevents TPOXX 18 expression and also blocks neoangiogenesis and regeneration. So these observations do suggest that in the zebrafish heart, which can regenerate, these TBOX18 cells are playing a critical role. So during zebrafish heart regeneration, and we're still waiting to know the answer to this, are TBOX18 epicardial cells migrating into the regenerate? And are they giving rise to vascular cells or maybe even myocytes? Our work suggests that perhaps they're capable of giving rise to myocytes within the regenerate. In zebrafish heart, what we do know is that there are new myocytes being generated and contributing to the regeneration of the heart. And from this, what happens to mammalian TBOX18 cells during cardiac injury? And this is a question that we're actively pursuing in the lab now. So with that, with those thoughts, I'll close and leave you. And these are the acknowledgments. Because this is a stem cell meeting on the Mesa, I just want to point out that we've had a lot of help from a lot of people on the Mesa for all the work that we do in the lab, including a collaboration that we have at the Scripps Institute with Shen Ding's lab, at the Burnham Institute with Bill Stalkup and Pilar Ruiz-Lozano's lab. And we also, of course, are interacting with people at UCSD and the VA Medical Center in bioengineering at the Moores Cancer Center, also the Chen Lab at UCSD. And in, these are a number of people in my lab, and many of them contributed to the work. Major contributions were Jody Martin, who really did the major moving force on this TBOX18 project, and Chen Len, who initiated the project, and Yanfu Sun, who made some of the mice that made the project possible. So with that, thank you very much.